We want to turn this morning in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and we want to read just a few verses of Scripture with you. And so as you're turning there, we do certainly appreciate, again, you being in our service this morning, as well as those who listen so faithfully online. And so we want to begin our reading here in just a few moments. Tony, if you could turn this down just a little bit, please. I'm getting a little feedback. And beginning with verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. The Bible says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all the patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of an inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank You for our time together. We thank You, Lord, that we have this day that's set aside that we can spend time with You as we're here to worship and honor You. We're here to give thanksgiving for the many blessings that You give us each and every day, not only as a church, but as individuals. Lord, we're also here to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to fellowship. And yes, Lord, that if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, we're here to encourage, to cause them to realize how that the only hope they have is Jesus and His shed blood. Lord, we just pray that You'll help us this morning. Help us to see the picture that Paul desired for others and how important it is for us to pray for each other and encourage each other. So, Father, I pray that You'll help me this morning. Lord, I pray that You'll help me say and do what You've laid upon my heart. And, Lord, we'll give You all the praise because, Lord, we realize this morning that if anything's going to be done, You have to do it. So, Father, I pray that You help us this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've titled this message this morning, Paul's Prayer for His Friends. He begins this letter here in, found in verse 3. He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." One of the greatest gifts that I believe that we can give a person, and that is praying for them. Praying for them. The greatest gift that you can give a person is that you can tell them and that you can make it a point to pray for them. You know, it's easy for us to say, "I'm praying for you," but it's something else that you take time to pray. Whatever the need might be, whatever the situation is, and many times we don't know what the situation is. We just know that an individual needs prayer. Paul was truly a man, not only an evangelist, not only a servant of the Lord, not only a preacher, but he was also a man that believed in prayer. He not only believed in prayer, but he was a man that prayed. He prayed. His Christian life even began with prayer. And we see that in Acts chapter 9. Notice what it says, as this was right after his conversion, right after the conversion on the Damascus Road. We see here in verse 10 where the Bible says, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas from one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." And of course, we know that Saul was none other than Paul. It's easy to look over words as we're studying a passage. Maybe we're zeroing in on some things, or we're zeroing in on something, and it's easy to kind of read over some words, and it's easy to miss something. Paul was a praying man. Paul not only had tremendous messages that he proclaimed, not only did he see it needful for correction, and as those false teachers and all those things that were happening around, and that was happening around him, he also saw it was needful to pray. To pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 8, the Bible says, "And least I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." So Paul was a praying man. He had a condition, he had a need, he had a situation that was a thorn to him. Now, there's controversy as to what that thorn was, and we're not here this morning to debate that, but I believe that it was something of great concern. Something that concerned him to the point to where he pulled aside to pray about it. To pray about this need, which tells me that we all have needs. It tells me that we all have concerns in our life. It tells me that there are some unspoken concerns that we have in our life. We have situations in all of our lives that people don't know about. And so this was another one that Paul had in his life. And he prayed and he prayed and he sought the Lord. He was asking for direction. He was asking for it to be removed. But although God didn't see for that thorn to be removed, he did give what was needed. And the Bible says in verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." You see, that's through prayer that he got that. That's through prayer that he prayed about that thorn in the flesh, and he thought it was needful to pray because he prayed for himself. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. He prayed for himself. He asked others to pray for him because of the mission was great. You see, the reason that I believe that prayer is so important is because many of us may be carrying a very heavy burden. And if you're not carrying a heavy burden, be thankful and pray for those that are. Because at some point, there'll be a burden that you're carrying. There'll be a burden that you're carrying. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and following, the Bible says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching." And watching, the Bible says, thereunto, with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. You see, he desired others to pray for him, not only for his needs, but also that he was going to be preaching boldly the message. What message today do we have that will help the most in life's challenges, in life's situations? What message do we have this morning that would help the whole world if they would listen and heed? And that is none other than the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess what I'm trying to paint a picture of this morning is the fact that Paul was a praying man. He was a praying man. I think of the many things that Paul had to endure in his ministry. I recently shared a list of those things that, and I recently shared how that Paul was troubled, and he had many hindrances, and he had many obstacles, but he kept keeping on because first, he knew the mission was great and important, but I believe that he was able to do it because he prayed and others prayed for him. The many things that he was able to accomplish in his life, and he was able to overcome. And I think of his life, I think of his testimony, I think of his faith, I think of his ministry, I think of the writings, and I think of his relationship with others, and that came, I believe, through prayer. You see, we can do nothing this morning without the help of the Lord. We can do nothing this morning without the help of the Lord. And that's why I think that prayer should be the center of all things. The center of all things. And I believe that prayer was the center of Paul's life, praying, praying. So it makes me wonder, after his conversion on the Damascus Road that I read to you just a few moments ago, after his conversion, it was noted that he was found praying. Now we understand that there was a certain time period of blindness that he had because of the light that shone. And he was blind. But you know, sometimes in life we're blind to what the future is. We're blind to the possibilities of what might happen in our life or what the Lord might have for us. And therefore it's important that we pray. That we pray. But he also saw not only was it needful to pray for himself, but he saw it was needful to pray for others. And that's what our focus is this morning, is praying for others. As I mentioned earlier, that prayer is something that can be given to someone, and that's something very special. Many of you know, some of you know, that several years ago, my job had changed and I had to go to Charlotte. And I was driving to Charlotte, believe it or not, every day. And I did that for 3.5 years. And I knew every pothole, every bump. I knew where to be at a certain time. And on a very tiring day, I was probably one of those people that you might fuss about that occasionally got in the right-hand lane because I knew traffic was coming. And I went around before the trouble started. But the point is, I drove over 150,000 miles in those 3.5 years. And there's something that was very special to me. There were two ladies, both have passed away now. There were two ladies, every time that I saw them, they would say, "Are you still in Charlotte?" And I said, "Yes." And they say, and they both at two different times, they didn't even know each other, but the two ladies said, "We pray for you every day. We pray for your safety every day." And to me, that was more special than anything that they could give is knowing that someone is praying for you every day. You see, Paul had such a relationship with the people in his life that he prayed. Oh, it's easy for us to complain about this and complain about that. And look, we're never always going to do everything that that is right, in the sense of, we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to, we're probably going to do something that someone else doesn't like, and those type of things. But that's people. You know, you can, I've always said, you can get 10 people in the same room and discussing about a matter, and those, we're all going to have different ideas. But there's something that should be in the center focus of our life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the fact that we can pray for each other. And how important it is for us to pray. And this morning, I would like to bring a few thoughts this morning in the time that we have, taken here from the Colossians here, chapter 1, and the characteristic, the first thing I want to mention is the characteristics of Paul's prayer for his friends. What is the characteristics? What is the importance of prayer? What is it that Paul can show us about the importance of praying for each other? And verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Do not cease to pray for you. So in the characteristics of Paul's prayer for his friend, there was some persistency. Being persistent. He did not cease to pray for you. No matter what changed in his life, no matter what situation happened in his life, he thought it needful to pray for others. He thought it needful to pray for others. He knew something about being persistent. He knew something about in his own life and how important persistence was. You see, as he prayed for others, he thought of his own testimony about being persistent, being that person that God would want him to be, being persistent. He didn't treat it as an afterthought, praying for others. He didn't treat it as one of them things, "Oh yeah, I forgot to pray. Lord, help me." Or "you help those person." He thought it was so needful that he took time and prayed for these individuals. He was persistent. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't just a simple thing that he says, "Oh yeah, I'll pray for you." Let me ask you a question. If any of us, if not all of us, might have been guilty of telling a person, "Oh, I'll pray for you," and then you're guilty maybe of not praying. It's easy to do. Because our lives become so busy, our lives become so hectic, our lives become so cluttered with so many things called life, it's real easy for us to be guilty about knowing the needs of others and maybe being guilty of not praying the way that we should. Paul's characteristic was his persistency. He simply took time to pray for others. Do you realize that every one of us are in a warfare? Every one of us are in a warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not," notice that word that says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're everyone in the warfare of life. We're everyone. We have temptations, we have troubles, we have situations, we have decisions we have to make, and so on and so on and so on. And I say the battle is raging in lives. The battle is raging in lives. You see, there's been things in my life that I've asked others to pray about, and I knew that God was going to answer. There's been things that I've prayed about on a personal level that I saw God answer. There's been other things that I felt His presence, but maybe the prayer didn't get answered the way that I saw fit, but yet I felt His presence. And that's that grace that I was talking about earlier that Paul talked about. Paul knew firsthand about the battles that he was facing, and he knew the battles that others would face. You see, he was on the front lines. And he knew the battles that he was facing, and he knew the battles that others would be facing because they're believers, because they're Christians. But do you realize this morning that we have the same issues? As believers in Christ, we have the same issues, and it's a battle, and it's a battle that rages. But I'm so thankful for the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can get through these things. Number two, it makes... There's some intensity in his prayer. The mark of intensity. Verse 9, it goes on to say, does not cease to pray for you. Does not cease to pray for you. You see, there was a desire in his heart. There was a desire in his heart. It goes on to say, that desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge and with the will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, this indicates that Paul was passionate about his prayer. He was passionate about his prayer. He desired the best for them. He desired the best for them. And the only way that they could do that, or he could do that, is not only help them and teach them, but also pray for them. He desired the best. And then I think of, there was unity in his prayer. There was unity in his prayer. When we think of that verse in verse 9 where it says, for this cause we, there's that word we, and then it goes on to say, do not cease to pray. You see, there's unity in prayer. Unity in prayer. He thought it was so needful to pray for those individuals. Needful to pray for those individuals. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. This was another account where people prayed, where the Bible says that Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And we know that based upon this passage of Scripture, that Peter was delivered from the situation that he was in. Even came knocking at the door. And they were amazed. You see, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. The characteristics of this prayer in Paul's life, the characteristics. Then I want us to think about the prayer for his friends had meaning. There's times that maybe in our life that we've been guilty, Lord, I sure would like to do so-and-so. I sure would like to do so-and-so. Maybe it didn't have quite the meaning. There was one prayer that I remember from somebody of this church many, many years ago. And I know a lot of times Danette watches online and Miss Charlene's here, but I went fishing with Dan. And we went to Bugs Island. And we stopped for breakfast. And we were on 58 and we stopped at, I believe it might have been Hardee's. I don't remember which it was, a fast food. And we got out and it was early. And we got our breakfast and so I asked him to pray over our food, and he was asking thanksgiving for the food. And then he said, Lord, if it be your will, could you bless us with a little fish today? And I believe that he was sincere. And he took me some places at Bugs Island that I would have never thought to fish. He was fishing right out in the middle of a cove, right in the middle of it. And I was thinking to myself, there's no fish here. But yet he dropped down right in the middle, and we started catching a few fish, and I remembered the Lord saw fit to bring us a few fish. You see, Prayer needs to have meaning. Not just words, meaning. Meaning. Verse 9 goes on to say that with all knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, He prayed that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will. The knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding. You know, that seems to be the age-old question. When I was going to Piedmont, and you know, there would be talk about, I don't know what God's will is for my life. You know, I'm not sure what God's will is. And I've talked to individuals about God's will in my own life and people that's helped me down through the years. And the one thing that stands out the most is prayer. Praying for God's will in our life. He had such a friendship with this group of people that he thought it was important that he pray for God's will in their life. Knowledge of His will in all wisdom and understanding. There's no greater need than spiritual understanding. There's no greater need than spiritual understanding that we might know the will of God for our lives. Sometimes we live our life and don't think about God's will. We've already got it set in our mind that we're going to do this or we're going to do that. But I ask a question, do we ever pray for God's will? Do we ever pray for God's will? There's a great spiritual need and there's a great spiritual understanding that needs to take place in our lives. And Paul saw it was needful and he says that in verse 9. Many times we don't know what to do in some situations. We've been guilty of saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Sometimes we just need to pray and let God intervene. Let God intervene. Many times we don't have the answers, but God does. And we find this through prayer. And how important it is that we pray for each other as Paul was praying for the people there in Colossae, how that he prayed for them and he saw it was needful to pray. So there's meaning in his prayer. Meaning. That they might lead the pleasing life that would honor the Lord. That would honor the Lord. Verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Pleasing the Lord should be our uttermost desire. Pleasing the Lord. That we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Praying is not judging. Praying is not judging what's best for someone. We pray for God's wisdom. We pray for God's leadership. We pray for God's plan. We pray for the walk of others. But it's not judging. It's just simply praying. Because it's God's work. It's God that directs. We're going to mention that tonight in the message that we have tonight. But yet, it's praying for others. I'm sure this morning that there's some situations in people's lives that you're not sure what to do about it. You don't know what direction that you need to go. You don't know what, you're just not sure. Sometimes you might talk to a person and that person will say, well, if it were me, I would do this or that. But you know what better way to get wisdom than to pray and ask for God's help and ask for God's leading. And simply, you know, it means so much when somebody says the words and you know they mean it and they say the words, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Not that you should do this or that you should do that, just the simple words of, I'm praying for you. Because it's God that does the leading. Paul was praying. He was trying to help. He was trying to encourage. But yet he was showing the importance of God's plan, but he was also showing the importance of prayer. Verse 10 says, that you walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, that you might engage in service. He's praying that they might engage in service. Engage in service. That you might make progress in your Christian life. That's also found in verse 10. That they might make progress in their Christian life, that we're growing, that we're helping, that we're encouraging. Verse 11 says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power unto patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, that they might be endured with the power of the Lord on their life. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, that they might have the power of Christ in their life. That should be every one of us, our desire, that we might have the power of Christ on our life, helping others, encouraging others, lifting each other up, and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say there was a great hatred for Jesus. And that continued hatred still rages on. Still rages on, and we need each other, and we need to encourage each other and lift each other up and pray for each other. Verse 11 also talks about patience, that you might have patience. Patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. Patience. Patience. I've heard people say that we shouldn't pay for patience. But you know, how are we going to get patience if we don't pray for it? Praying for patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. In the trials that we face, and every one of us face trials, in the trials that we face, we need prayer. We need prayer. I think of a verse of Scripture found in the book of James. And it talks about prayer. It talks about prayer. The Bible says, behold, ye count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You see, there's trials that we face. There's trials that we face, and we need the Lord's help. And sometimes we have to be patient. We have to be patient. Sometimes patience is hard. It's hard because we want it right now. We want things to change right now. We want things to happen right now. But you know, it's all in the Lord's timing. There's been so many times that my dad, growing up in my younger years, of course, I didn't get to spend long with him. I only got to spend 19 years with him before he passed and went to heaven. But I can't tell you how many times that I would say, Dad, can you help me with this, or I need this, or I whatever it was. And then he would say, did you pray about it? Did you pray about it? Because he knew how important prayer was. And then lastly this morning, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Lord, which hath made us meet to be partakers in of the inheritance of the saints of the light. Simply giving thanks. Giving thanks is part of prayer. Giving thanks. You know, we could spend a lot of time asking God, God, I need help with this. And we should, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for us. He cares for you. We should never be guilty of not thanking God for what He's done for us and what He's doing for us. You know, there's been things that I can honestly say in my life that maybe I didn't pray for, that God gave me a benefit of, or the benefits of life, and I didn't pray for it, but I sure want to thank Him for it. I sure want to thank Him. You see, Paul had a desire to pray for his friends. And I hope that's our desire this morning, is to pray for our friends, to pray for each other, to lift each other up, to encourage each other. Paul saw it needful to pray. The Bible says, praying always for you. Is that our desire this morning, is to pray for others? Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, what an example that you give us from your servant, how that he prayed for others. Even though he endured his own hardships and trials and testings and so many things, he still thought it was needful to pray for others. Lord, we're blessed to be together this morning. We're blessed to be here. Help it to be our desire to pray for each other as Paul prayed for this group of people. Lord, we couldn't make it without you. And how wonderful it is that we have that privilege and that opportunity to pray for each other. Help us to not be so busy, but help us to pray. Father, if there's something that someone needs to pray about this morning, that someone needs to pray, and or maybe you've spoken to a heart in some way, Lord, I pray that they'll come. Our desire is that people get close to you. So, Father, help us this morning. Bless this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.